Well, I feel very much tonight like one of God's little people. And I need the Lord. We need the Lord to help us. Have a burden on our heart tonight to tell you I want to talk to you tonight out of our burden that I feel like the Lord has given us. Sometimes I've wondered how the ministers of old, how they approached their messages. Wonder how Paul did that. He didn't have this Bible, all the history and all that we have here to aid him. I believe he preached out of the burden of his heart, love for people, something that God himself had instilled within his bosom. Paul had an experience on the road to Damascus that changed him forever. He was never the same after that. And he came away from that experience with something instilled deep within his bosom that he couldn't be still about. He had to tell others about it. I'll tell you how strong it was. It was so strong that one time they stoned him until they thought he was dead. Everybody thought he was dead, and he may well have been because they left him for dead. And as others gathered around him, mourning about the fact that he was laying there looking dead, the Lord raised him right up. And you know what he did? Went right back to preaching. Folks, this is something real. God has something that will change you forever. It's something that wells up within the depths of your soul. If you really have it now. There's something that people, all this time of year, you know how, New Year's resolution. You ever heard those? Turning over a new leaf? Those generally don't last very long. Now, if that's all your salvation is, dear ones, tonight I want you to know God's got something better for you than that. He's got something that'll go down inside and change the way you think. Change your mind. That's what He'll do. He'll give you something real. And oh, I tell you what, Brother Sammons, there was the night that I got saved back in 1979. Here at Monarch in July. Brother Sammons was preaching on a no-so salvation. And folks, I got it that night. When I got up from that altar, I was a changed person. And I thank the Lord, you know, He hadn't changed any. He's still the same. He's still in the business of changing lives, giving you something that satisfies your soul. Change the way you think. The things I liked the day before, I totally changed that next day. I didn't like some of it. Not just that next day. I tell you what, when I got him off that altar, there were some things I was busy getting rid of. Didn't even like it any longer. What a miracle. What a miracle that the Lord does in people's lives. Well, He still does it. If you don't have satisfaction in your soul, if you still got a hunger for the things of the world, God wants to change you. He wants to save you. I don't care if you claim to be saved tonight and you still have a hunger for the things of the world. I want to tell you, God wants to save you. He's got something better than that halfway salvation. He's got something real for you. Well, thank the Lord. Didn't mean to start out just like that. It seems to my mind, as I observe where we are, as a people, I'm talking about as we look around society. Not just society, but around right here, where we know each other as a people. It seems to me that the devil is battling very strongly for the hearts and minds of people. He doesn't mind if you learn a whole lot of Scripture, as long as what it doesn't apply to your life. He doesn't mind if you know how to maybe even quote most of the Bible, as long as what you have a twisted view on what it says. As long as what he can take the Scripture and put a false meaning to it, he doesn't mind how much of it that you learn. He's interested in getting in where you think. That's a battleground. And I want you to know tonight also, God's interested in owning the same territory. He wants to clean up minds and set them straight. That where the devil has come along and twisted ways of people's thinking, God wants to come along and make it right. He wants you to have a clear understanding of where right and wrong is in this life we live today. God is opposed to sin. God is opposed to things that defile your mind. That begins to open up the doors and open up gateways for you to get twisted in your mind where you can't see clearly where right and wrong is. God's interested in closing those doors and helping you to understand what right is. God loves you tonight. Doesn't want you to be deceived. God's interested in you and I having clear understanding. See, God's not the author of confusion. But God, He's the one that goes before us, His sheep, the great shepherd. He goes before us and He leads and calls and gently woos us. If we'll follow, if you hunger and thirst, you can follow and understand God's ways and you can enjoy your salvation. Young people, you can enjoy it right here. You can enjoy it when you go to school and other people scoff at you. You can still enjoy your salvation. Oh, yes, you can. When all the world tells you you have to dress in such a way to draw the wrong type of attention, God has an answer for that tonight. Yes, He does. God can set your mind right. If that's what the devil's trying to get you to go after tonight, God wants to save your mind. Well, He wants to save your soul and set your mind right. Yes, He does. Well, let's read the scripture over here. 1 Peter, the first chapter, and the 13th verse. He says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you, as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it's written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." First part of the 13th verse says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your minds. Be sober." You see, here's the territory that the devil is also trying to work in. He tries to deceive. And he'll try to get you and I to become soft and pliable and accepting on ways that are unholy. Yes, he will. That's what he's trying to get you and I tolerant toward. And he'll start out with things that seem very gray areas. There's no scripture. Folks, I've had people challenge me before about some of my stands. And one of the things in different areas, I've had this challenge and they've said, "Well, now where's the scripture that you stand on? Where does it say?" Folks, there's not always a scripture that says, "Thou shalt not watch television." Doesn't say it. Doesn't say it. And if you want to defend wickedness or even the 14th verse. According to the former lust in your ignorance. There's a fleshly desire that the devil begins to work on, and he uses that to try to get us to be vulnerable on some areas. And we'll get into a gray area. Quote, gray area. And right here, the devil then begins to work. And he begins to try to, "Well, what's wrong with that? You ever heard that? What's wrong with that? And where's the scripture?"
Maybe we ought to say, well, what's right with it? Maybe we're approaching it from the wrong direction altogether. Folks, sometimes when we get along with the Lord, those things become clear. Lord, what's right with this? And when I'm examining it along with Him, somehow, sometimes there's not anything looks right with it. And I find that really what the devil's been doing, he's been trying to beguile me. He's been trying to move me out of the good, solid area where I have strong, clear convictions over into the question area where what's wrong with that? This is the devil working. Folks, he's working today real hard in some of these areas. There were times when I've seen people with clear testimonies telling, the testimony rung true. And now sometimes there's a little bit of a cloud in there. Folks, the devil moves issues in people's minds. And where they once had strong convictions, the devil's at work undermining those convictions, where their foundation that they've built on begins to crumble. God's got something better for us than that tonight. Oh, how sure a foundation, how firm a foundation upon which He built a structure to glorify God. Folks, it's not something that's built on the shifting sand, but it's built on that rock, Christ Jesus, and the apostles being the stones, foundation stones, Christ being the chief cornerstone. Also, He talked about you and I being lively stones. We're right in there too. Dear ones, we've got to recognize that we've got to line up with Jesus Christ. The devil would like to try to fashion our thinking according to the former lusts in your ignorance. I remember how when I was out there on the devil's territory, the things about serving the Lord and things my parents tried to teach me and my grandparents tried to teach me and the things I saw around the church and things that I would try to buck against, I found all kinds of reasons in my mind to question. And it's hard to make sense in my mind. I'll tell you why. The devil was trying to help me. Help me not to make sense out of it. The devil, he's busy stirring up the dust. He's busy lighting the fires that cause the smoke of confusion to get in people's eyes. That's what the devil's trying to do. And he's been an expert at it for years. And he's still busy at it today. Well, when I got saved and gave my all, didn't hold back a thing. Folks, I wouldn't have got saved that night if I had held back anything. When I came there, over there at that corner of Monarch, when I hit that altar, I was desperate in need of a Savior. And I told Him if He'd just take all this dirty, filthy, burnt up rags, He could have it. And it wasn't going to hold anything back. And folks, when it came to that point, and I meant it from the depths of my heart, God answered. He answered. And He changed my thinking. The day before, even that night during services, I'd been sitting back over in the corner, kind of talking around and making fun of some remarks that were said. And after service was over, I'd slip out, maybe go get me a drink and kind of sneak around. But when I got saved, the next day it found me up here out in the middle. And you don't have to all sit up here in the middle. But folks, there's something that changed in my heart. And the same service that I'd found boring the day before, I didn't find boring any longer. Oh, brother so-and-so sure is doing a good job of preaching today. He was boring yesterday. Folks, change was in me. You see, God changes lives. He changes the way you think. He also helps us to have clear vision of where right and wrong lies. He says here, gird up the loins of your minds. Oh, where the devil is trying to make inroads. Gird up the loins of your minds. Begin to recognize, oh, the devil's working on me here. I won't won't let him have this territory anymore. I know where safety is. I know where the right way to believe is. I know that I need to anchor myself back on the good word of the Lord instead of over here in this area of question, this area of not only question, maybe accusing the saints, holding too strong a line. Dear ones, we need to give our all to the Lord tonight and quit worrying about this question area. Give your all to the Lord, and the Lord will clear up the questions in our minds. God will do it. There's still a case of no-so salvation that changes people and makes you happy in the Lord. I know it's so. He didn't quit saving when He saved me. He didn't say, all right, you'll be the last one. No, He's still saving souls tonight. Saving them from a life of degradation. Saving them from twisted minds. Saving them from selfishly defending them with their own ways against God. Folks, if you're defending your own ways at the expense of your soul, give your own ways up tonight. Come and give your all to the Lord. Brother Stanley preached a message, I believe it was either Saturday afternoon, maybe Saturday night, don't remember. But in one of those times he mentioned about they that over there in Malachi, I believe, 3, they spake often one to another. Can you quote that one for me, or somebody quote that? There you go. They that feared the Lord spoke often. Yes, and a book of remembrance was written. Yes. Yes. Thank the Lord. Oh, dear ones, don't you like a good ring and testimony service when saints start getting up here and there and telling what the Lord did for them? Oh, I'll tell you, I remember times when people have gotten up and told of the healing that the Lord did. Soul, mind, and body. All of them. The Lord still heals all of those. He heals bodies, yes. But you know, there comes sometimes a feeling of, oh, I don't want to offend somebody else. That maybe they don't quite understand this. The privilege of serving and trusting the Lord with their body. And so if I testify like that, they might get offended. Oh, dear ones, quit letting the devil take our testimonies. They spake often one to another. Let me tell you something. Back when the evening light was beginning to dawn across the brow of humanity, when people started getting a hold of the things of the Lord, their hunger of their heart, their seeking heart, the Lord began to feel the hunger of their heart, and they began to draw together under this knowledge of holiness unto the Lord. People got together and they were worshiping the Lord, enjoying the fellowship. This brother getting a hold of some truths. He'd get up in meeting and tell about what the Lord had been teaching him. I know it would ring true to another brother's heart, and they would support one another. Oh, brother, thank the Lord. I'm glad you got a hold of that. And when I heard you testifying about it, it seemed true to me too. And I just receive it too. And I move right up behind you, brother. Thank the Lord for what He's telling you. And in that environment of hunger and seeking of the Lord, giving their all to the Lord started teaching some of those brethren about trusting Him with their body. It did. And then they got into some tight places. Places where they were tested on some of this understanding. And when they got in there, and those brothers, they got together and earnestly seeking the Lord for some answers here, needing the Lord to give them healing touches, and the Lord began to answer from heaven, put His approval on that. And these brothers began to get up from there and tell others, oh, I got a hold of this. And the Lord has touched and He's healed some bodies. And dear ones, that began, oh, the Lord's working. They weren't ashamed to tell them what the Lord was doing. Folks, the devil is trying to take away our testimony tonight of divine healing in our midst. He's trying to get us cowered down in our mind. Here again, the devil is trying to move the issue down into an intimidation of our mind where we aren't free in the Lord any longer. God wants us to be free tonight. come to the place when the Lord heals us and when He leads us in a place where we can trust Him, and we come out on the other side, we can testify clearly, this is what the Lord has done for me. And it'll encourage you, the saints. Speak often one to another about what the Lord's been doing for you. Magnify His name. And all, dear ones, all the Lord has victory for us in these areas. Folks, you don't have to even get healed to trust the Lord. You know that? You know, you can trust Him and die and go to heaven, and that's still victory? Yes, it is. Don't think it's not. I watched my father get a hold of the Lord. I watched him have a long illness of congestive heart failure. That's what the doctors called it anyway. Oh, they called it dropsy in the Bible. I don't know what. Man thinks we're pretty smart and got things figured out. And you know what? They're pretty ignorant. Medical science think they've got it all figured out. And I know a man back home that he went in the hospital. His trust was in man and all their ability. He went in the hospital for carpal tunnel surgery. You know what that is? They said it's a real easy, simple procedure. And they gave that man too much blood thinner and he died. He died. You going to trust that? You're going to trust that and die too. I'll trust the Lord and die. And be happy in my soul. Be clear in my soul. Folks, God's got something better for you than the weak elements of man. Yes, He does. Oh, yes, He does. God help us as saints to be able to exalt the Lord in times like this. I don't mean brazen trying to hurt somebody. No, I'm not talking about that at all. I'm saying exalt the name of the Lord. Just be free. Oh, thank the Lord. I watched my father come down to this part of his life. He had congestive heart failure. And he just incrementally kept going downhill. I watched the Lord work through that. I watched the Lord, that master potter of the human race. I watched Him take that lump of clay, and as it yielded into His hands, I watched Him begin to make a vessel that was beautiful to behold. Oh, yes, I did. I wouldn't have seen that if He wouldn't have been trusting in the Lord. And I wouldn't have this joy welling up in my heart tonight when I think of my Father if He wouldn't have taken that route. Oh, but there's such a clearness. There's such a confidence that I have tonight. And my Father took the right way. Yes, I saw the Lord bless him. Yes, he had some hard times. Of course he did. You will too if you trust in the doctor. You'll have hard times. But I watched him one night as he was groaning and rolling around. And I prayed and I prayed until I had all my prayers prayed out. I didn't know what else to say. And I felt like they were bouncing off the ceiling. Didn't think God was even listening. Didn't feel that way anyway. And I felt a little bit kind of left alone. And I felt like God wasn't treating us right. Oh, I didn't know what God was really doing. And as I got silent, got quiet before the Lord, and still looked, saw my father rolling and groaning over there, pretty soon, the hand of the Lord quieted him just in a few minutes. And I thought, oh, well, he's just going to start groaning again here directly. But you know what he started doing instead of groaning? He started singing a song. And this is, folks, it's something to sing this song here in a congregation, but it's another thing to sing it when you're in the heat of the battle. He said, in the heated furnace, Father, let me stay. Precious gold refining, purge the dross away. Till thy glorious image is reflected there. Till the costly jewels of thy grace I wear. Folks, the Lord was molding on his lump of clay. The Lord was making a vessel that honored him. Folks, this is what God wants to do with you and I tonight. If the Lord gives us a furnace of affliction to walk through, say, amen, Lord. Amen, Lord, I'm walking there. I tell you something, folks, and I appreciate the prayers. There was a time that Brother Murphy Allen, he trusted the Lord with his body, and he had a cancer that ended up taking his life. But through that time, the Lord taught me a lot of things through his faithfulness. And after his death, and through all the things that the Lord taught me, I made some vows to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm your vessel, and you have a right to use me however you choose. And if, Lord, that means you use that vessel up, you have a right to do that, Lord. I told him, Lord, if later on, if you see that by putting a cancer on the tip of my nose and eating most of my face off and taking me that way, you can cause another young man to get the blessings that you've given me through this man's faithfulness, Lord, you'll have the right to take me just like that. Well, it wasn't that long ago. I've been having a little place on the tip of my nose that kind of grow a little and kind of scab over, and I'd scratch it and it'd bleed real easy. You know what? My mind got to thinking. Got to saying, all right, here it comes. The Lord was asking me, do you still mean that? I did some dealing with the Lord about it. And there was fear rose up. It did. I had to deal with it just like you have to deal with it when your time comes. But I came to the point I said, Lord, I'm still your vessel. And you can use it. If you want to use it up, you still can, Lord. Well, that place is gone on my nose now. Now, I thank the Lord for that. But you know what? I'd still thank Him if He left it. God help us. Now, that's a close place. But folks, it means more to trust the Lord and allow Him to mold the vessels. Speak often one to another about the things of the Lord. Saints, don't let the devil get advantage of us like this. The devil move right in here on our minds and begin to get us all fearful and all quiet and all just segregated. And the Lord's desire is to draw His beautiful church together. Put on thy beautiful garments, Zion, and praise and exalt the name of God. Oh, see clearly. Look beyond where we live today. Look beyond, dear ones. There's something over there. There's something the Lord has for us. Oh, I want you to know something too. I believe the devil is trying to change in some of our minds the very definition of what it means to live holy. He's trying to work like that. Sometimes because people face failures in their life, we are more apt then to say, since I have failed at this and haven't gotten the victory, somewhere I've got to understand God's Word according to my failings. God's Word says, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's what it says. Now, if I fail and continue failing, then I am apt, I have a tendency to begin to say, well, I want to still serve the Lord, and because I can't gain victory, surely that scripture means something else. That's what the devil tries to do. And we'll begin to try to interpret scripture according to our carnal failings. Now, over in Romans, 8th chapter of Romans, Paul plainly teaches us that the carnal mind is enmity against God. He said it's not subject to God, to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So we just have to know right up front that if I'm trying to interpret Scripture according to my carnal failings, it's not a good yardstick to interpret it by. I need to let God be true, and every man a liar. I need to say, amen, Lord, that's right in the Scripture. And if I'm having failings, Lord, bring me up to gain the victories. That's what God wants. Now if I said that, suppose we had a drunkard come here, and he said, the Lord has saved me. And he walked out these doors and you saw him head down to the bar and commenced to drinking. I think you'd have a hard time accepting his testimony, wouldn't you? It put some pretty big doubts in your mind about what he just told you. Likewise, also, if you saw a drug addict say that the Lord saved me from whatever kind of drug, and then pretty soon you saw them getting involved in the same thing, it would be hard for you to say, well, he got saved. Sure enough, he's a good saved Christian. It'd be hard for you, wouldn't it? The testimony wouldn't ring true. Likewise, if you say you got saved from sin and then you go back out there sinning, dear ones, you're not saved. God saves from sin. He changes lives. He can instill His holiness within you. Wherefore now gird up the loins of your mind. This area where the devil plays. Oh, young people. Lord help us here. There is a spirit that the devil's trying to work with. Of the desire to have attention and be noticed. And in doing that, sometimes young ladies can get caught up in this almost competition to impress boy. Understand what I'm saying here. I'm not trying to be just accusatory. But I want to expose where the devil's trying to work. And with the desire to be noticed, to impress this boy, the young lady sometimes is tempted to put on clothes that are unbecoming to holiness. It's true. It's what happens. The devil plays right in this area. And folks, that's not right. It's not godly. It's not healthy. It's not good for your soul. Young ladies, let me tell you, in the fear of God tonight, don't let the devil beguile you like that. Because the attention you'll get is not what you want. You'll buy to yourself. If you follow on that path and let the devil beguile you like that, if you follow on like that, you'll probably get you a husband that won't be faithful. Let me tell you, if you want to have a good man that loves you, find you dress right. You put God first. You let Him dress you in every way. From head to toe, the way you dress your hair to your feet. The way you conduct yourself, the way you think. Let God dress you in the meek and a quiet spirit. And you'll find a man, a young man then, that's interested in the things of the Lord. And when he puts God first, he'll be attracted to that young lady that puts God first. And he'll find her beautiful. Oh, look at her. Look at that young lady. Oh, look at her character. Look what she's doing with her life. Oh, when she comes to services and she testifies. You don't always have to. But her whole life says, God's the center of my life. And a young man that has God the head, he likes that. And then God is able to put those two holy people together and He'll bless a holy matrimony then. Folks, the devil's trying to tear down holy matrimony in the middle of the saints. He's trying to do it. And he's working in the battleground of the hearts and lives and the minds of our young people. He's doing it. Young men, don't let the devil get you enticed but ungodly dress. You lowered your character when you did that. The devil is trying to get young men to come down from the level of holiness to where they are enticed by the frivolity of ungodly dress. Oh, I could put a different name on it. Enticing dress. A tantalizing dress. But I'd rather call it ungodly dress. Because that's what it is. Sensual. Devilish. It's what it is, brother. It's sensual. It's devilish. It is according to the carnal. It is unholy. And let me tell you, in the fear of God tonight, when you follow after that, you'll buy to yourself heartache. You'll do it. Oh, there goes Brother Ivan again. Folks, you don't have to like me, but I want you to be able, when you stand before God's throne, to say somebody told you the truth. Please listen. Don't let the devil take you, young men and young ladies, down that road. Oh, what's wrong with it? Oh, throw that question away. Ask yourself what's right with it. If it's not producing a clear, comfortable holiness, when you come and talk with the Lord and you pour out your heart, if these things are nagging in the back of your mind, throw them away. Throw them away. God's got something better for you than that. He wants to save you from that. All that questionnaire. Yes, He does. Brother Ivan, what scriptures are you going to give me? Give this. I could come up with a number of scriptures that would satisfy my mind and that would reinforce these things to my mind. But I've also found that if somebody doesn't want to know and doesn't want to understand, I don't care how many scriptures I dig up, I won't convince them. You're going to have to want to serve the Lord. You're going to have to want to crucify the old life. You're going to have to want to turn your back on the ways of the world. And I don't have to stand up here tonight and define it for you. I believe you know. When I say the world, I believe you know. I believe you just have to, you need to do what you know is right. The ways of the world is enticing. It'll cause you to uncover your body. It'll cause you to give room for fleshly thoughts, young men. The devil will try to do that, but the Lord wants to save you from it. The Lord wants to cause a young man to be noble and pure and holy. One that is strong in the ways of the Lord. One, a real man is one that's able to bow down in tears before the Lord and beg for the church of God to be glorified with the midst, with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's a man. We need young men who's willing to be prayer warriors. We need young men who get the hold of God to the point that He can anoint them for His service. Not just learn how to give a good speech, and may God help us here. I don't want to be one of those either. But we need to have something more than a good speech. We need to have the anointing of the Lord on our lives. We need to have something so deep and so real and so burning that when we come in the presence of people, they'll see more than just you and me. But they'll see God. God help us. You see where the devil's trying to work on us? It's not just us. He's doing this the whole world over. This nation's rotting to the core with this type of deception. And they're starting openly to call good evil and evil good. And when I would try to tell them that God Himself made all this creation, if I tried to preach the message today that Paul did on Mars Hill, they would call me a lunatic. Paul said, you know what he said? He said, this God, this unknown God, the one you're thinking about, he said, He's the one that made all that you see. Just recently, there was a court, a judge, that got angry at somebody that promoted that idea and made some very strong, harsh statements against people like you and I that believe God did that. And I'm not ashamed to tell you tonight that I believe God created all that we see here. God created it. And God's going to call it all back to Himself someday. And that includes you. That includes you. May God help us tonight to gird up the loins of our mind. Not allow the devil to get a hold of us and twist us and shape us into the mold of this world. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be not conformed to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let the Lord renew your mind tonight. I believe the devil's trying to make inroads right here. Rebuke him in the name of the Lord. Rise up against him. Speak often one to another about the holiness of the Lord. Recognize, get some victories in your life. Come to Wednesday night prayer meeting and tell the others how the Lord's been helping you. It encourages one another. Those are the ones he takes pleasure in. And when he comes back, those will be his jewels. Those will be his jewels. I want to be one of those. All right. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That doesn't mean just your talk. Conversation means everything that's expressed by your person. Everything. You understand what I said? Doesn't mean just the words that come out of your mouth. It's everything that's expressed by who you are. If I say I'm saved, If you saw me here tonight and I'm saved and I say I'm holy, and you saw me here with a spike haircut, I think you'd have some problems. If I had it all spiked up here and rolled up and funny, I think you'd have some problems, Brother Ivan. And I would say you should. That didn't speak of holiness, did it? God wants a people that are plain and simple, but are in love with Him and have good, clear, spiritual eyesight. God's got it for us. We're going to have to pay the price. Give her all. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Holiness is still what God requires of His people. I want to ask you tonight if you've got some confusion. The devil has been causing the smoke of confusion to rise in your mind and questions in your mind. I want to ask you tonight, will you come and settle it once and for all? Give your all to the Lord. Say goodbye, old world, I'm through. No, I'll part with thee, O Master. Oh, don't let the devil get a hold of you and destroy your never dying soul. The devil has a desire to drag you down to hell. God wants to save you tonight. Won't you come?